going to save that. We're going to save that because you don't want all that. It's end of the show. End of the show. Stick with us for the next hour. Actually, it's only, what, 50 minutes away? Not even an hour. Stick with us if you want to enjoy Living in America with James Brown. That's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, you can't live in America with James Brown now. Because I hope he's dead. They buried him. Oh, my God. That would be a tragedy. 610-720-7900 welcomes you to More Than Money. Gene at AskMTM.com welcomes you to More Than Money as well. And thanks. So, as many of you who emailed me the correct answer, that works, kind of. I mean, not to win a book, apparently. You got to call, but lots of folks got that correct the second time. great piece of music. I have had such wonderful response from folks about the fact that we have a little fun with music. Lots of our listeners enjoy all kinds of music, as I do. All right, I got to confess, the whole opera thing, not my deal. Not my deal. Just, I got to confess that. But gosh, music from the 60s and the 70s, that's, as far as I'm concerned, the best there ever was. But country music, love country music, and jazz. Oh, love jazz and big band stuff can be fantastic. Gospel choir music. Oh, you want your heart to just pound out of your chest. There's some fantastic stuff out there. Music's great. So I've gotten tons of compliments. Thank you very much. It just started because we wanted to give away a few books and help Karen Catcher, and then we wanted to give away a few books and help Shane Burkhall. Now we want to give away a few books and help folks that make sure that their cybersecurity is A-okay, because cybersecurity is such a big deal. And we're having a lot of fun. Now, we've had a couple folks who went, really? Really? Music? Really? Yeah. Really? 610-720-7900 if you're just joining us. We had a great first hour. If you missed the first hour and want to check in, then Monday at noonish, it will be posted to our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, and you'll have the first hour and the second hour, so you can check in and get all the good information. We had great calls in the first hour. We had some very interesting information. Commenting on a article from the Morning Call on annuities that was in Thursday's paper that was sent to us by our friend Tony. And happy to share all that information with you. If you'd like to touch base, just go ahead and do that on the website. Again, I want to thank all the folks from the Lehigh Valley Center for Independent Living for their efforts. Not just the golf tournament Wednesday in terms of fundraising, which if I understand correctly, it was quite successful. But bringing so many people, well over 100 golfers, that's a great result. There's so many golf tournaments these days, it's sometimes difficult to attract significant numbers. Apparently, they're doing a great job. A lot of ladies out there playing. A lot of ladies out there, by all reports, playing really, really well. And I want to thank Jim Mahoney and Greg Bott and everybody. Everybody, very, very gracious, made us feel very welcome. Lots of volunteers. Olympus volunteers were there. Other companies sent volunteers. Fantastic. That is just fantastic. We met some of the folks out on the course who are recipients of some of the support. They help homeless vets. They help vets with disabilities. And we met some of those folks. And just what an honor. What an honor. So great fun and for an important reason. Coming up tomorrow, the Holy Family Manor, the golf tournament at Bethlehem Golf Club. I don't know if it's full or not. You might go on their website and check that out, make some phone calls, see if you can join us. Mr. John, we do have an incoming call. But I'll be there, and my friend Jarrett will be there, and his friends, and lots of other folks. Fantastic. Of course, we're not going to win because if the same team shows up as was there last year, they had a team of, I think, five. It can't be five. Four college golf team captains, something all 11 years old, all like body fat 0.0. We're looking at that going, are you kidding me? Jeez. So But we will have a great time. We'll raise some funds. I know that we have a tournament coming up to support Arch of the Lehigh Valley. We have another one coming up to support Laughing at My Nightmare. That's a new one this year. So lots going on. If you have a fundraising golf tournament that we can help with, perhaps we can play, perhaps we can sponsor, perhaps we can just promote, let us know. Gene at askmtm.com. That works really well. If you have a question for me this morning, 610-720-7900. Did you scare those folks? They didn't want to talk to you, John?
They didn't want to talk to me.
They didn't want to talk to you? Well, okay. I get that. I've been there. Dude, been there. I pick up the phone. People go, see you. Click. Painful. 610-720-7900. Gentleman writes, I invested $240,000 in an annuity. We were just talking about that. 7 years ago, it's now worth $230,000. I've kept it because I bought a life insurance rider on it that is now worth $400,000 when I die. Okay. I'm going to step out of the email for a second. It is absolutely possible to acquire an annuity that has different riders, different additional benefits. You pay for those additional benefits. So if you wanted a guaranteed lifetime income, you can acquire that. You pay for that. In this case, the gentleman paid for, in essence, life insurance rider. So even though the investment itself has gone down, the death benefit has gone up dramatically, and he said, I was told this life insurance will go up 6% a year until I die. I recently found out that this doesn't seem to be true. I'm really unhappy with the agent who sold me the policy and the company too. My intent has always been to have a sizable amount to leave to my wife. I don't want to stay with this company that I no longer trust. What are my options? Well, number one, I absolutely understand that you don't trust them anymore. I get that. At the very least, it was not explained to you well. At the worst, it was explained to you inappropriately. However, we did a little research on this, and you're absolutely right. It does not go up for the rest of your life, but it does go up until you are age 85. Pretty reasonable number. From a life expectancy standpoint, probably right at life expectancy, or maybe even a bit beyond. And then it levels out and it stays level until age 95, at which point you've got to make a choice. You either pull the money out or you're going to have an annuitization issue on your hands, which you don't want. I don't think you leave this annuity. I'm not happy with the agent or the company either, but we're talking about $160,000 of death benefit that you will lose. You will absolutely lose if you leave this annuity. So you've got to kind of gauge in your own mind just how angry are you, how upset are you. Now, Pennsylvania Insurance Department, should you give them a call? Sure. Explain the situation to them. Perhaps they can mediate some resolution. Maybe there's a compromise. Maybe the company can help out. Maybe. I don't really know about those kind of resolutions. But what I do know is please do not walk away from this contract until you've done all the homework you possibly can, exhausted every other option. Because again, this benefit, even though the investments stink, I get it. You've had it 7 years. You've lost $10,000 in your investments. That's over the last 7 years, that's almost impossible. I mean, it's almost impossible for investments to have performed that badly in 7 years. But at your passing, your wife will currently get $400,000. At 6% growth, next year she gets 424. The year after, 450. The year after. You get my point. So please do not surrender this contract. Please do not walk away from this contract until you've really, really, really done your homework. Not sure how to do the homework? Give us a call, 610-720-7900. We'll get you squared away. Speaking of 610-720-7900, let's go to the phones. We talk to Greg. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well, sir. How may we serve you?
I had a similar question for you. My aunt lived in New Jersey her whole life, and the last year and a half when her health deteriorated, she moved here to Pennsylvania. Her will was forged in New Jersey, but she passed in Pennsylvania. Her estate is about $500,000, and there's four blood nieces and nephews that would be dispersed to. I'm not quite sure how the taxes are formed because of Pennsylvania and New Jersey, if you could explain that to me.
Sure. Well, and there are some pretty significant implications to the issue of residency in this particular case, because the beneficiaries of her estate are not her children. In the state of Pennsylvania, the tax, the inheritance tax on the $500,000 is going to be substantial. When I say substantial, you can read into that $50,000 or more. In the state of New Jersey, if I understand correctly, they follow the federal rules, which means that there may very well be, for the resident, a resident of the state of New Jersey, zero. So the amount of money involved here is substantial, and it's one that needs to be addressed absolutely. You are the executor?
That's correct.
Do you have an attorney that you're working with as your advisor?
My first appointment will be in 2 weeks.
Okay, very good. The issue of residency is going to be one that the attorney that you employ will need to be very, very committed to. If your aunt was had come to Pennsylvania for the sole purpose of care, then I think it's very reasonable to argue that she never gave up her New Jersey residency. Now, if on the other hand, she came originally just because she wanted to leave New Jersey, and let's be honest, who wouldn't? I mean, come on. Exactly. If she came and then lost her health thereafter, I think that's going to be a difficult argument to make. But if indeed, how long was she a resident of New Jersey?
More than 20 years, to my recollection.
So 20 years, and how old was she when she passed away?
89.
I think you've got a tremendous argument that she remained a resident of the state of New Jersey and that she was in Pennsylvania temporarily for health issues. If you were a Pennsylvania resident and you went to a hospital, to a rehab center, to a care facility in New Jersey for a short period of time, you would certainly not give up your residency. From my standpoint, John, we got another call coming in. From my standpoint, I think that's the argument that the attorney needs to make, and I think it may end up saving the family quite a bit of money.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate that.
No problem, Greg. Please circle back with us and let us know how you make out with the attorney and kind of what the resolution is. We'd be happy to know.
I will do so, sir. And to answer your question, there is one person who would stay in New Jersey, and that would be Christy, because he is in private beaches.
I hear you loud and clear, my friend.
Thanks,
take care. God bless. 610-720-7900, Gene at askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Pretty simple. Young lady writes, I lost my husband 3 years ago. I have two IRAs, my 401k, an annuity, two bank accounts in my house. I have a small mortgage on my home. I want my estate to be shared equally by my four children. What's the best way to get that done? It's not going to be difficult at all. Certainly, you will need to consult with an attorney, an experienced estate planning attorney, one that knows exactly what he or she is doing. The fact that you have four beneficiaries is really not an issue. Your IRAs, you name beneficiaries, so you can name them directly on the IRA to share equally in those IRAs. You do the same thing with your 401k, the same thing with your annuity. You can even do the same thing with your bank accounts. But of course, that'll still leave you with your home that's got to go through your estate. And again, a will drawn up properly, an executor named appropriately. This is even though you've got multiple accounts and lots of moving parts, very easily done. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised that by using beneficiaries on your IRAs, your 401k, your bank account, your annuity, that your estate's going to end up being very, very simple to settle, not a lot of problems, not a lot of challenges for your children as they settle your estate. And if you want to make it really simple for your kids, just don't die. Just hang around. I think that's good advice. 610-720-7900. Let's go to the phones. We talked to Michael. Michael, good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
How may we serve you, sir?
Well, I had a question, a general question.
Sure.
What is the risk of investing in leveraged funds? For example, so many of these funds, 2x leveraged funds, generate 15-16% annual returns.
Mm-hmm.
Monthly coupon.
Mm-hmm.
What a fund that invests in global mortgage REITs, unsecured debt. What is the risk to the investor? Because the allure of that 18%, yield.
Mm-hmm.
Attracts me to it.
Well, of course. And for everybody out there listening, an ETF is an exchange-traded fund. And, John, we have another call coming in. We have an exchange-traded fund, and it is it operates very similarly to a mutual fund, but it's got some other opportunities, and I use that word loosely. And Michael, you're exactly right. When you talk about a 2X fund or a 2x fund, they use leverage. Mutual funds do not borrow money. An ETF can. So when Michael gives them $100,000, they can go borrow. In this case, 2x leverage means they can borrow twice that amount, $200,000, and invest $300,000. That's pretty exciting stuff. As long as the investments are in positive territory. Because if you are investing in a 3x, and your position goes up 5%, you get 15. 15 minus a little tiny bit because you got to pay interest on what you owe. Because you're borrowing money. That's the whole idea of leverage. So bottom line is that you've got a little bit of cost, and as long as the accounts go up, there's no problem. Life is grand. It's when the market goes against you that life gets kind of crappy. If your investment goes down 5% and you're in a 2X, your investment's going to go down 15%.
Right. Now, that part I understand, but specifically when they're talking about this particular fund,
mm-hmm.
When the securities are senior unsecured debt securities, I mean, could a fund like this go to zero? If I had $500,000, I said, 18-17% return. Monthly coupon.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a risk of the fund could go to zero. Could be see you later, alligator.
All I need do is remind you of the year 2008, when the stock market tumbled dramatically because many of the funds that went under. Lehman Brothers as a corporation went under.
Right,
it's because they invested in what appeared to be very solid mortgage, real estate-backed mortgage securities that ended up being highly over-touted. In that case, it was a bubble. The bubble burst, off it goes, and Lehman Brothers disappears. Hundreds of billions of dollars of investment money simply disappeared. Could that fund go to zero? Yes. Is it likely to go to zero? Not necessarily, but is it possible it could see a 15 or 20% decline, which for you would be a 45 to 60% decline? The answer is, well, heck yeah.
So the possibility of that decline is on my principal.
Oh, sure.
Right? They may still pay that interest. Or not.
Right? So yeah. Yeah,
the risk is there. Just as that example you used, it could happen, and I'm just a small potato. I don't know, right?
Not only do you not know, you have no control. It's not as if you're on the inside saying, "Hey, we got to work hard and get out of this." If the underwriters decide, you know what, we've kind of had enough, and we're going to fold it. They fold it. and you're left high and dry. And one of the things, Michael, that should absolutely indicate to you risk is the sheer size of the yield that they're offering you. 15 to 18% returns in an environment where guaranteed interest rates are at 2 and 3 means that it's tremendously risky.
Does it matter that it's issued by UBS? I mean,
oh, like, did it matter that anything? Yeah, does it matter that anything was issued by Lehman Brothers? Lehman Brothers was 150 year old. It was the bedrock of Wall Street. They're gone.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, they're
totally
gone. So does that mean you shouldn't do it? Not necessarily. If you don't mind having some risk, if you've got a piece of your portfolio in a high risk environment, and if this continues to work out, it's going to be glorious. Right. If you minimize your risk by minimizing your exposure, you should be all right.
Okay. Well, thanks for the time.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you.
I appreciate the call. You take care. 610-720-7900. Quickly, we go to the phones. We talk to Al. Al, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. I have a question about buying gold and silver these days.
Sure.
I have an IRA, and I have quite a bit of cash sitting there. Can I buy gold, or let's just use the term gold, and put it into the IRA, or do I have to buy it outside the IRA?
No, you can buy it in the IRA, and you can do it a number of different ways. If you are simply interested in gold as an investment, very easily done in an IRA, there are a number of ETFs, exchange-traded funds, that invest directly in gold bullion. GLD is one of those exchange-traded funds. And they buy, with each share of ETF, they buy 1/10 of an ounce of gold. They put it in the vault, and you are literally investing in gold directly. The fees are remarkably low, measured in hundreds of a percent, not 1%, not 0.5%, but like 3 or 4 hundredths of a percent. So very inexpensive. And so if your goal is the investment side, you're done. It's easy. It's liquid. You can sell it at literally the drop of a hat any moment during the trading day. Easily done. If your investment objective is gold coins, different question. Can still be done. There are a number of firms out there that do it. I'm not a big fan. I don't think that's a great way to go. I think there's too many opportunities for you to be parted from your money inappropriately with people overselling the value of a coin, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're investing in gold as an investment itself, using an ETF inside an IRA, easily done, not a bad idea.
Okay, that's great, because normally what you hear on TV and the radio is everything is these gold coins, or, you know, they found a ship that sunk somewhere. And
of course. So an ounce of gold, it should be $1,250 an ounce. They can sell it to you for $10,000 an ounce because it was once underwater. Yeah, don't do that.
Go underwater more ways than one.
I like it. Fantastic. Al, I'm going to thank you for your phone call. Thanks for...
I got a comment about Harley.
Oh, go ahead.
We were in your building about the beginning of this year,
mm-hmm.
and on a second opinion, which was, you know, I thank you for all that.
You're quite welcome.
Some of the advice. But when my wife wanted to touch the Harley, she growled at it.
she's a puppy dog. Sometimes they do that. Yeah. God bless. I appreciate your phone call very much. Take care now.
Thank you, too. Bye.
Ah, interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. You want to buy gold? You want to pay $1,000 an ounce or $10,000 an ounce? It was underwater. I'm going to buy some gold coins. Throw them in the bathtub for a week or two. I discovered these underwater. I think they're very valuable. We get to take our last break. This show goes too fast. We'll be meeting with some friends right after over at the MTM World Headquarters. And looking forward to that. And then family coming up this afternoon and for the weekend. And, of course, golf tournament tomorrow. Boy, it's a big weekend. Hopefully you've got great plans as well. But your plans for the next half hour should be very clear. Gene at More Than Money. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. Call us, 610-720-7900. Back after this on More Than Money. Welcome back. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning, August the 19th. Yes, we were recorded last week. I get that. Sorry. Occasionally, my wife tells me to do stuff that requires me to be somewhere else. And if you're married, gentlemen, if you're listening, you're married, you're going, I get it, dude. I get it. People go, what are you doing this weekend? Whatever my wife tells me, it's what I'm doing this weekend. When I tell you I'm playing in golf tournaments, because I got permission, so there.
Sure.
So goodness gracious. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, the first 90 minutes will be available for you Monday on our morethanmoneyonline.com website. And let you review all of our shows for the last, I think, 7 or 8 years. We've had our podcast posted there, so we have hundreds of hours of shows all labeled there for you with different topics that you can search and enjoy. So if you've missed, please absolutely take advantage of that opportunity. And you may very well want to do that. In our 8:30 segment, we talked about an article that was in the Morning Call about annuities. And gave some information from that article and then expanded on that. And I think there's some very valuable information there. If you're considering investing in an annuity, you got to be careful how you say that, in an annuity. Goodness. Then absolutely, you should review that information. And if you have any questions or if you've got an annuity that you're not 100% clear about, let us know. We'll be happy to square that with you. 610-720-7900 lets you join us. That's the number that Skip has called. Skip, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. It's a pleasure talking to you. I enjoy very much not just your financial advice, but your attitude towards life. And it's a wonderful opportunity for people to know that you're getting advice from someone who has a deep faith, and I personally appreciate it.
You're very kind, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
I have a situation where I was involved in a small bank in the Lehigh Valley, and I have a number of shares, and I gave some to my grandchildren, and now I have 3 great-grandchildren, and I want to give them some of these shares, but I heard you speak about something in a will, which doesn't seem to be related, but the deal was that if the person was given the stocks and those stocks then had a cost basis based upon the person who gave them, rather than there was a different way to do it, and that would save tax money. So my question to you, Gene, is if I give these shares, and I just want to give a few $1,000 a piece to them, mm-hmm. but if I give them shares out of my present portfolio of shares, I'm in a DRIPS program, a dividend reinvestment. They just keep buying more shares.
Sure.
What would the cost basis for my children, great-grandchildren, be if I simply just called the clearinghouse and I gave them the papers and I said I want to donate this many shares to each one of them? What would their cost basis be, or would it be better for me to provide them money for them to buy shares?
Their cost basis would be your cost basis.
When I originally purchased them?
It will depend.
That's what concerns me.
Yeah, when you're in a DRIP program, you are constantly buying new shares. And if, for example, and I'm using numbers I've made up, you originally paid $1 a share, and currently the shares are worth $10 a share, the original shares that you purchased have a $9 capital gain embedded in the current value, even though you haven't yet sold them, even though you haven't liquidated, that tax on that $9 will come due some point in the future, as long as that stock price holds at $10 a share. However, the shares that you purchased in 2016, just last year, through the DRIP program, you may very well have purchased those at $9 a share. So the current capital gain embedded in those shares is only a dollar. And because you've been in a DRIP program, give me a rough idea how many years you've been in this DRIP program.
Oh, 10.
Let's use 10 as a perfect example. So the shares you bought 10 years ago are likely to have the highest gain. The shares you bought a year ago are likely to have the smallest gain. Not that there's certainly no rhyme or reason to that. If the shares have gone up in price relatively stably, that would be true. But they could be all over the place. So when you say to your transfer agent, I would like to give stock shares to my great-grandchild, you might very well get the question back, which shares do you wish to gift? And you will be able to pick and choose the ones that you bought 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last year. You may end up giving them a stock that has no tax impact, or you might end up giving them stock that has a huge tax impact. It all depends on which shares you decide to give.
Well, Gene, now you just answered the question. Now, I gave shares away previously to my niece's son when he graduated, and I gave some to my grandchildren some couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't ever remember seeing on the form that I had an option to determine which ones, and that is my biggest concern. Are you saying that probably I just didn't see that and there was a place, or is it possible for me to say, I want to give shares away that were purchased within the last 2 years?
Absolutely.
I can do that.
Of course.
Okay. Sure. All right. Well, that's a big help because it just triggered when you spoke here 2 weeks ago or so about inheritance. It was like analogous to that. It related to it, but when the cost base is taken to the person that has given the stock, either before you die or after you die. And it was interesting, and I thought, I wonder how that works with these. And you've answered my question. As long as I can determine, then I can just simply figure out, as long as I purchased enough to cover it the last 2 years, that would be wonderful if I could do that.
Selecting those, it's called the selection of the lot, the share lot. When you purchase shares in a stock, that's referred to as purchasing a lot. Years ago, they liked round lots, 100 shares per transaction. Now with DRIP programs, you can actually buy, as you well know, fractional shares. You might get a dividend that gives you 11.7 shares. So your lot is quite different, but the cost basis is established at that point of purchase. So you've got that opportunity. Now, skip one more point that you should factor in. Depending on the recipient, the cost basis may have no real negative impact because if, for example, you've given this to a great-grandchild, assuming a baby, at whatever point they decide to cash those in, they may be in a very low tax bracket. Their tax exposure may end up being zero anyway. So it's not a huge issue, but it's certainly one that with a little planning you can make a bit better.
Well, I don't want to give the guys in Washington 1 cent more than I absolutely have.
Skip, you and I must be brothers under the skin. I'm with you.
Well, thanks, Gene. You've been a great help, and continue your work. God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you, sir. Take care. 610-720-7900. Very nice. Very nice. Interesting stuff indeed. If you've got gifts that you're making, there's lots of different considerations. It's always wise to sit with a financial advisor who's familiar with these things. To be fair, most are not. As a matter of fact, if you look at the disclaimers that are placed on most of the major stock brokerage operations, the Morgan Stanley's, the Merrill Lynch's, the Edward Jones, et cetera, they are very quick to point out that they are not tax advisors. They are not giving you tax advice. They are not interested in giving you tax advice. And they simply don't want to be on the hook for giving you tax advice. So they are very clear about that. In the More Than Money World headquarters, we are very happy to do the exact opposite and give you tax advice and search through these issues as Skip is facing. Because we have an entire tax division under our own roof. Diane is a IRS registered agent, enrolled agent. Daryl's a CPA, Janina's a CPA. We've got a resource that can we do tremendous research and make sure that before you take action, you will you'll know exactly to the extent humanly possible to the penny what your tax exposure might be. And if you are of a mind, if you are of a like mind to yours truly and my friend Skip, we don't want to give the government a penny, not a penny that they haven't absolutely, I was going to say earned. They haven't earned anything, but they don't, that we are not required to pay by law. We absolutely do not advocate tax evasion. No. We advocate tax avoidance using every legal method possible, emphasis on the legal. Tax evasion, 3 to 5 years, no thanks. Not interested. Tax avoidance, we're very interested. Skip's very kind about our motivations and his recognition of the fact that as a person of faith, we bring a certain attitude to the advice that we give our clients. I've had a fair number of conversations with a fair number of you as part of my More Than Money family about just those things. I have to confess that there are moments where I scratch my head about, not about my faith, but about what people interpret that or how they interpret that. From my conversation with Skip, I think he gets it. I think he gets me. I think he understands that there's a certain approach to life that I bring. What I don't bring is a holier than thou attitude because I'm not worthy. I've got to tell you, I get really uncomfortable really quickly when some of my Christian friends find reasons to be uncomfortable with some of their or their judgments of some other folks. I'm very, very proud of the service that our More Than Money team brings to our clients. And we are committed every single day to service. And that's very much a spiritual commitment. It's very much a Christian commitment. And there's no question that is based in love. And as I explained to a gentleman and his wife, he is going to be officially retired, I think, the end of this week. They were in this past week. We were putting some of the finishing touches on his retirement plans, talking about work. How can this be work? All day long, I spend time with friends. Friends that I work with on my team, friends that I serve as their financial advisor. So when I get up in the morning and take a glance at the schedule, I go, whew, I got a great day ahead. This is fantastic. So it is a function. It is not a function. Our work and our service to all of you as our listeners, all of our TV show viewers, all of the folks who are guests of ours in our More Than Money World headquarters in the Holy Lands. It is not a function of our Christian superiority. No, it's what's the phrase, a work in progress. My mom was proud of her Pennsylvania Dutch heritage. As it turns out, she wasn't Pennsylvania Dutch. She was Dutch, which any good Pennsylvania Dutch person would tell you, that ain't the same. But one of her favorite phrases was too soon old, too late smart. It's true. And what I believed at 20, by the time I was 40, I was half convinced that that was hogwash. And now that I'm I am no longer 40. And thank God I have not been holding my breath since I was 40. Talk about blue in the face. Goodness. I think the best that we can do, and when people say, hey, this world is a crazy place, I agree. Hey, things are not the way they should be, I agree. Hey, what do we do about it? I say we pray. It's the same answer I give when I talk about how do we make changes in me. We pray. How much time, sir? Very good. No more phone calls, because we're not going to be able to fit it in anyway, right? Young lady writes, my husband has a daughter from his first marriage who needed some help last year, so he took $28,000 out of his IRA to help her, and we paid that income tax last year. We've come into a small inheritance of $40,000 and can now return the money to his IRA. Is this the best move with that money? Whether it's the best move isn't terribly relevant because it's not possible. Yeah, you have 60 days to return money to an IRA. So since this was last year, you are well beyond the 60 days. I don't see any extenuating circumstances here that the IRS would give you a waiver. So returning the money, as in we took 28 out, we'd like to put 28 back, I don't see that happening. Could you possibly make contributions to both your IRAs? Yeah, I think that's possible. And I say possible because you need earned income. And in order to maximize that, you need, between the two of you, you need to earned income of at least $13,000. If you've got that, then you could take $13,000 of your $40,000, put that in IRAs for each of you now, $6,500 each, total of $13,000. And the first week of January, you can do it again for next year. So you could move $26,000 of this $40,000 into, not back into the same IRA, but back into... but into two IRAs, one for him, one for you. And you're kind of back. Let's see, it's already August, so we're only 5 months away from January. You're kind of back in the similar position to you were before he took the money out. Where you go with the balance of that $40,000, that's a different question. We should talk. Because it depends. There's just not enough information here to give me to give you a good and useful answer. 2 minutes left, sir. And then we do we have a good piece of music? I've kind of forgotten. Are you kidding? It's a great piece of music. So we got James Brown to rock you out at the top of the hour. But in the meantime, if you've heard anything on today's show that causes you to say, hey, I would like a second opinion on my personal financial picture. I would like to have someone that I trust look at my investments or my income tax situation, my annuities perhaps, my 401k investments perhaps, my estate planning perhaps, my insurances perhaps, my long-term care perhaps. The answer is we're happy to look at all those for you. And there's absolutely no charge for that. There's no obligation. There's no pressure involved. It's simply an opportunity to sit with a financial advisor who will, you'll ask lots of questions. They'll ask lots of questions. And they'll give you as much information as they possibly can. No charge, no obligation. If at some point in the future you say, hey, I'd like to become a client, maybe that works, maybe that doesn't. As it turns out, over the years, we take about one out of every three folks who come through the door. So there's lots of reasons why it may or may not fit. If it fits, that's glorious. But that's always up to you. Always up to you. Easy to do. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, G-E-N-E at AskMTM.com, or go on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. And you can always call the More Than Money World Headquarters, 610-746-7007. Again, 610-746-7007. Great piece of music from an iconic artist. Enjoy Living in America by James Brown. We'll see you next time on More Than Money.